Hi, everybody. Welcome to The Press for today, January 10th, 2023. I'm Ryan Ballengee, and it's good to have you with us for our Tuesday show. We're going to go over both our models for this week, first round leader bets and the overall tournament model. And we'll look at some of the bets that I have in hand already. We talked about a couple of them yesterday, made a few more before doing this show today. And those are really in the first round market. Didn't really add anybody new yet on the overall market, but kind of make some choices here based on the modeling that I just did 10, 15 minutes ago and came out. So let's get right to it. We do this every week. We go do a model of the PGA Tour that I've run for, 3 years now. That model's been very successful. Last week, Jon Rahm, as you might expect, was pretty high up there. He was number two. If you look back at the last 15 PGA Tour events, there has only been two tournaments where the winner has not been in my top six. So that's something to keep in mind this week as we go over a top 10 for a model that does really, really well. Again, to go over the basis for the model, for those of you who haven't heard the show before, I look at 1 and 2 year time horizons, strokes gained, our metric quality strokes gained, which goes by a couple other names out there in the world, but basically measures strokes gained and multiplies it based on the quality or diminishes it based on the quality of your competition. And then we try to look at those figures in those time frames based on the kind of competition we're going to see this week. Then we're also going to look at course fit. And then we're also going to look at basically recent trends, last five events. We kind of grade all that differently, put it all together, and get a total figure. Most weeks, if you are above 1, you're doing really well. If you're above 1.5, you have a really good chance to win the tournament. This being a tournament with a little bit of a weaker field, it's not weak by any stretch, but a weaker field, and the changes in the official World Golf Ranking, threshold may change a little bit this year. But here's our top 10, and for the most part, it's going to be pretty obvious. I don't think anyone's going to be like, whoa, what a selection. But the point is to kind of reaffirm maybe some of your choices here, but also to put them in a proper order and note that there really isn't a huge difference in the top 10 compared to what you might be seeing from DraftKings or sportsbooks. And then after that, the divergence starts for a couple of different reasons. But first, let's go over the top 10.
Top 10.
Tom Kim, number one, makes sense. Corey Connors, number two, also makes sense. Good course record here, good ball striker, not necessarily a long player. Long players don't really do that well here. Sungjae Im, number three, he has become the co-favorite today with Tom Kim at 12-1, so people obviously like him very much this week. Taylor Montgomery is fourth, with the caveat that young guys tend to not win this tournament. So Taylor Montgomery winning would be somewhat of a surprise, but just given how he has performed in his rookie season so far, it's been pretty incredible and shoots him right up the ranking. Hideki Matsuyama is the defending champion. He is fifth in my ranking, pretty much spot on with what the books think. Jordan Spieth is sixth, a little bit worse than what the books think, and I typically am that way with Spieth because of the longer-term nature of the modeling. Billy Horschel is seventh. I have him. He's actually a little ahead of where the books and DraftKings have him. Russell Henley is eighth. Pretty much bang on. And then Keegan Bradley is ninth. Pretty much spot on. Tenth, Brian Harman. Pretty much spot on. A little bit better actually ranked at the books and DK than I have him. And that's probably largely a function of a couple of runner-up finishes. In fairly recent memory. So that's going to bump him up some. That's the top 10. And then it kind of starts to diverge from there. Nick Hardy is overrated in my ranking just because he doesn't have tons and tons of data. And frankly, kind of Taylor Montgomery is too, but that's okay. Chris Kirk is 12th, longer term waiting, plays this tournament well. Again, I have him a little ahead of the books. And we talk about the difference between DraftKings rankings and how they price people, because that's effectively a ranking scale, and how books look at people, and their differences, right? So DraftKings really cares about where you're going to finish, but also how are you going to get there statistically. If you don't make tons and tons of birdies and you make a few bogeys if you drop a few shots and you still finish in the same place as a peer, if they score more points because of birdies and eagles, then you're more valuable. That makes sense to the DraftKings game, or FanDuel game for that matter. In a book, the books look at players differently. They don't rate them individually because then they would have to price all of them individually, and that would be a huge pain in the butt for a market that doesn't do that kind of volume. So they pod players after about the top 10, and they start to put them in clusters of 3, 4, and 5 until you get down to about 40, and then you start to get into bigger clusters at 50, down to about 80 or 100, and then from 100 worse, I mean, that you just get big groups, especially in that 300, 400, 500, 600 range of guys you're never going to bet. But in my ranking, they might as well be the same guy as far as the book is concerned, because they effectively have no chance of winning the tournament in their mind. So what's the difference to them whether they're properly ranked or not individually? So that's something to keep in mind. But I did publish that for our members at golfnewsnet.com. $30 a year to join. It's going to go to $50 after this week. Back to the original price to give it one more week, just because I'm lazy and forgot to do it last week. So we'll do it one more week this week. That's all in mind there for the top 10 ranking. Now, I bet, as I mentioned before, Adam Svensson, who's 28th in my model, ranked 31st overall in at least the South Point, or the Westgate, excuse me. That's the rankings I use for this model because they don't fluctuate as much, so I have something that's a little bit more steady to pick off of to be a comparison point. But I got him at 100-1, and I put a small wager on him at that number. As I have him in this model, he's 80-1. I've seen him drop from FanDuel. He was 55-1, now 65-1. So maybe they overpriced him, or maybe they just want a little bit of action on the guy. 80 has kind of been the consensus price, and I saw the points bet number move to 82. So if you got him early, cool. If not, hey, whatever. It is what it is. And then I am probably going to go ahead and take Corey Connors, and I'm probably going to take Tom Kim, and I might go with Brian Harman, although 16 is just a little too short for my liking. I may get in, make it down with Keegan Bradley or Russell Henley instead. And then I do like the Keith Mitchell number a little bit, but I also don't love it, but he's ranked exactly where he needs to be based on DraftKings numbers. So that's tricky. That's a tricky one. But I'm probably going to tend to stay toward favorites this week, except those couple of mispriced guys I thought were out there earlier. I have toyed with the idea of having a David Lingworth bet because he's playing so well overall. I've toyed with the same thing with Alex Smalley, who's playing very well in current form. And he rates 38th in my model. But if you look at current form, he's 26th overall. So he's kind of a little overpriced because of the momentum play. I don't know if I want to chase that. And then Cam Davis actually interests me quite a bit, but not so much that I'm willing to just go after him, given past results on this golf course. That leads us into our first round leader model. Last week, hit it pretty well. This is a new model for me. I have this available free for everybody if you want to take a look at it until I feel like I've got something I feel very confident in picking every week. So this particular component to it, so last week we hit, had John Rahm. He was 12-1, wound up getting a three-way chop with Morikawa and JJ Spahn. And so it hit, but obviously didn't get the full value because of the dead heat rule. So now this week we're trying it with a full field of players and a couple of guys stand out in the model, which looks at last 50, last 20, last 10, and course history. And we're also looking at similar courses in terms of first round average, scoring average. So we're looking at that as well to include in this model of last 50, 20, and 10. That all said, Will Gordon comes out number one in this model by a substantial margin. But he doesn't really have a track record on this golf course. So you can like him because in the long haul, in the longer haul, he is a good first round leader player, but I don't necessarily love it. Same thing with Ben Griffin. Really nothing to work with at Sony. And we've talked about the experience factor being pretty important. So that's something to consider. I think Tom Kim is number two. JJ Spawn is number three. I bet Spawn. Easy bet. I'm in. I also bet Adam Svensson, who does not come out in the top 20 in this model, but I also included it over at the website. The average strokes, first round strokes gained by a player in the last 4 years in this tournament. Adam Svensson is by far the top player at 6.33. He's only played this event twice, but he likes it, and particularly gets out to a hot start. Matt Kuchar, Patton Kizzire, and Michael Thompson and Corey Connors are the only players that average gaining three strokes or more on the field in the first round in the last 4 years, and those guys have played it 3 or 4 years each. So if you like any of them, I would jump on them. Then I want to go back and finish out the top eight of this model for the first round leader bet. So Will Gordon, Tom Kim, JJ Spawn, Ben Griffin, Siwoo Kim interests me quite a bit because he does tend to get out to, if he plays well, he gets out to a really hot start. Russell Henley makes sense. He's just a solid player. He gains strokes every week, pretty much every round. So there's a reason he's going to do well in the first round. Christian Bezuidenhout is number seven. Corey Connors, number eight. And Adam Scott, number nine. So if you're trying to look at a player who ranks in both in the top 10, there's Corey Connors right there. You may want to look at him for a first-round leader bet as well, and I probably will place that once this podcast is over. I'm still trying to learn how to interpret my own stuff in a weird way, especially this first-round leader thing, because, yes, we want to try to look at who you are and what you've done on comparable courses and what you've done in this tournament, but if you don't have tons and tons of experience, like Will Gordon relatively and Ben Griffin have relatively little experience, but what they've turned out so far is good. So do you want to rely on the long term, or do you want to make a short term play? That's up to you, but that's what I've got here for the model this week. And Adam Svensson was a guy I already fired on to win. Fired on him as a first round leader bet. I think he's 55-1 I last saw. So again, not a bad number worth taking. Michael Thompson it's going to be hard for me to put some money on Michael Thompson, but I could put some money on Corey Connors. I'll have to do a little bit more on Kuchar and Kizzire to see what they've been doing recently. Kuchar hasn't been too bad, but we'll see if that's worth another $10. But I'm really only going to put on like three guys to give it a shot at a very relatively small number to what I would place a win bet on. So if it hits, bonus money, that's great. Let's see what it does. So overall, I think the card kind of makes sense, starting to take shape. It's not perfect. I don't think. You know, I never feel good going into a first full field event of a calendar year, and that's because the PGA Tour has this month-ish break, and all of the players that you might have liked in terms of horses for courses and current form, the horses for courses thing is fine, but the current form part doesn't necessarily work out, because current form for a lot of these guys was as of like Thanksgiving. So do you put a whole lot of stock in that, or do you just kind of let it go? And if you look at current form, JJ Spawn makes all the sense in the world. He's had three top 15 finishes in his last five PGA Tour events. Alex Smalley makes sense. Three top 15 finishes, top 11 finishes, really, in his last five starts. I like David Langworth because he's playing well, top 10s abundant, but they're not necessarily against great fields, and he's still David Langworth, and this tournament has not been particularly kind to him. So I thought about playing him and then decided against that. I think if you're looking at players based on current form, and this could lead into your argument about having a first-round leader bet, Will Gordon has a couple of top 15s in his last five starts, really in his last three starts, because he was T3 at Mayakoba, T15 RSM. Does a month and a half off mean bad stuff? I don't know, but if you combine that with the first round leader model, hey, maybe he's our guy. Maybe it is worth that number, and it is a good number. Brian Harman makes sense. Couple of runners up, in the last five starts and in tournaments that would make sense to compare, because you've got Mayakoba, you've got RSM. Those tournaments are, they can feed on Sony because Mayakoba is tropical, RSM is seaside and windy, or can be windy. So it's hard not to like Harman, although he wins so rarely. That's kind of hard to fall in love with that. We love Taylor Montgomery. Patrick Rogers is playing well. T3 at Bermuda, T10 at RSM. Never won, though. You know, to get to a win for him is very difficult. So it's hard to find a love affair there. Maybe that's an in-play. And just a guy to keep in mind for in-play of, hey, he's off to a good start. Something could be happening here. You're not going to get the full number, but you might get something worth looking at with the validation of knowing that he's already off to a good start. Grayson Sigg is worth looking at to me. I'm not going to play him pre-tournament, but one of those guys on kind of the live list, because he was T11 at Bermuda, T15 at the RSM. He kind of seems to have started to figure out what it's like to play on the PGA Tour and how to be successful. I think his first season was a bit of a disappointment, but maybe it's kind of going to work out here in year two. Alex Smalley, again, playing good golf, did it three different places. Does that carry over? Is that worth looking at? Again, also knowing that young players, and Alex Smalley is a young player, do not tend to win this golf tournament. Worth noting. But if you also look at the players everyone likes this week, they're guys in their 20s. Guys in their 20s tend to not win this tournament. But how can you not like Tom Kim? How can you not like Sungjae Im? So I understand where you're coming from there if you want to get down with a small bet on Alex Smalley. If you want to look at course history, if you want to look at top 15 finishes in the last 5 years of this tournament, you really have twos and threes everywhere. There's no one that's a four or a five out of five guy. So that's all nice to have, but a lot of these guys are older players as well. I love Chris Kirk. I tend to be biased against him because he tends to gain strokes, but he hasn't won in a long time. Keegan Bradley's got a good record here. Corey Connors has a good record here. Russell Henley, decent. Hoagie, Kirk, Kisner. Kizire has a great record here. Webb Simpson has a great record here, but he fell off like a ton of bricks last year. So Matsuyama won here and has another good finish in the last 5 years. Matt Kuchar has a couple good finishes in the last 5 years. But again, you have to maybe, when we're looking at the strokes gained of the players in the last 5 years in the first round, Matt Kuchar is not the same guy he was 3 or 4 years ago. He's just not. So you have to weight that a little bit differently. Now, course fits. I like to compare what a player does when they finish in the top 25 of a tournament and what the field makeup looks like of the top 25 in terms of strokes gained, how that breaks up over the course of a tournament, and compare the two. And where there's overlap, I consider that a course fit. So, course fits for this week. Ryan Moore, Webb Simpson, Cam Davis, we already mentioned him, Jordan Spieth, J.J. Spaun fits this place pretty well. Not great, but pretty well. Keith Mitchell fits, Brian Harman fits, Patton Kizire fits. Notice on those last several names, a lot of Georgia guys, a lot of Sea Island guys. Something worth looking at for this week. So that's kind of everything. That's kind of where we are with full tournament, first round leader bets. We'll finalize the card tomorrow and set up everything for the week. I have a bunch of bets in hand, with three or four of them, most of them first round leader bets. I probably will get to Corey Connors as a first round leader bet, and I might just do Will Gordon. Might just do it. And then in terms of in-tournament plays, I haven't decided this, but I'm probably going to go Connors, Harman, small bet on Gordon, small bet on Smalley, just to cover the bases. And Yeah, maybe Bradley. Maybe get to Bradley and Tom Kim and something like that. But we'll finalize it all tomorrow for you. We'll do it with the show. Shoot me a quick message on Twitter or via email if you have any questions or want specific recommendations, thumbs up, thumbs down. Ryan@thegolfnewsnet.com via email, at Ryan Ballinger on Twitter. I highly encourage you to become a member this week at GNN. Like I said, price going back up to $50. There's more benefits also, and there's more content too than ever before around fantasy each week at Golf News Net. And I'm very proud of what it looks like right now. So thanks so much for listening. We will talk to you tomorrow on The Press.